1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Circle that verse. Verse 3 is we want people to realize that he made it clear that faith without works is dead, right? So he said, your work of faith and your labor of love. Isn't that great? A lot of people say, I got faith and I got love, but love does something. Love is an action. Not necessarily a feeling or an emotion. And faith is also action. So there is a work of faith and a labor of love. We're going to master in these things. We're learning how to endure in the last days because Jesus is coming back, right? And if we want to improve our lifestyle and if we want to accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish in these final days, we've got to pick up the Word of God and somehow apply it to ourselves. And let the Word find some place in us that we can call, some place in us to change us. So for the one thing that I've been noticing in this season is that I will not separate faith from obedience. Because I believe I obey God. When we were young in faith, we heard one message of faith and it was correct. You know, just that faith is believing the word, hearing the word, and, you know, and believing that word. And by faith, we're going to get what we want. But when we grow up, that faith matures into something else. It matures into the ability of us to remain obedient to God and to do what he told us to do. Do you know you're in this room tonight because of faith? Why? You believe that God is coming and you want to prepare yourself. So you take actions and your actions demonstrate what you really believe on the inside. So faith without works is dead. And you can find out there was one place in the Bible that he didn't rebuke. We used to think he was rebuking the disciples when he had that devil. And they couldn't get the devil out of that man, out of that little boy. They couldn't get the devil out. I said, I besought the disciples and they could not get the devil out. And Jesus turned around and said, oh, faithless generation, how long will I have to be with you? Well, we understand, you know, faith gives us the ability to do the will of God. Faith will, what we use our faith for is to win our community, to establish the kingdom of God, and to build the house of God. And unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Well, God is building it, but if he's going to build it, he's going to build it through us. For we are the body of Christ. So what we want to do, till the body of Christ can develop faith to obedience, the obedience of the faith, amen, and start to do what the Holy Ghost leads us to do, guess what? Nothing will happen. God says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, without faith, without you obeying God, you're not going to please him when he comes. How many, when Jesus comes, you want, you know, we said, when Jesus comes, we want, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well, that shows someone that the Lord delights in, is someone the Lord is pleased with what they did. Well, if you got true faith, it will cause you to be obedient and do those things which bring delight to the heart of the Father. So without faith, the ability, I mean, just a strong belief system within us and that causes us to change the things that we do, causes us to do something extra sometime, it will be impossible to please God. If you want to please God, you're going to need to have some faith. And more than faith, just what you're believing on the inside. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. But it said that Abraham was a father of faith because he left one place and went to another, and he did what God told him to do. He cut a covenant with God, and everything, you know, he went out from a land that he left Ur of the Chaldeans to go to a place he didn't know about. He just packed up and moved on. And that's faith. Then notice it says, so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, the witnesses of faith that they use in the book of Hebrews. When we look at those witnesses in the book of Hebrews, every one of those people that God uses, or that the preacher uses in the book of Hebrews to tell us about faith, can anybody find it? Let's go there real quick. We're upgrading our faith. Hebrews chapter 11. What is your hope? It says, now faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For it by elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. By faith Abraham, what did he do? By faith Abel, what did he do? He did what? Okay, go to verse 5. By faith, Enoch was what? Okay. And then in verse 6, it says, listen, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared. What did he do? Prepared an ark, didn't he? So he did something. So these people that God's calling people of faith were all people that just didn't believe something. But people that believe something, because they believe something, they did something. What they believe motivated them to take action on their belief. So that's what the Bible says, faith without works is dead. It's not faith until you're motivated to take action on what you believe. If we believe Jesus is coming, then what are we going to do? We're going to act on it. And how do we act on it? How many have faith that the Lord is coming and that his return is so soon? We see all the things that are going over in the Middle East right now, and we know that Jesus is coming. Does that motive, is your faith being increased by the prophecies in the Bible being fulfilled in these last days? My faith is increased. Not just with evidence, I told you so. No, it put a fire to get busy about the things of God. Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming. You know, I want to get serious about the things that we teach and the things that we preach about to prepare God's people for the kingdom to come, and say, hey, let's get ready. Let's let the Father be pleased when we get here. Half of these people that say, I can't believe all the things that are going on over in the Middle East and all these things that the Bible says. And if all these things were true and we truly believed it, how can we explain the state of our church or the universal church? How can we explain, this city being, overrun today with believers? You know, if I knew that Jesus was coming any moment, any hour, I would not wait for Sunday morning to tell a friend about Jesus. Our faith will be evidenced by what we do. Faith is evidence of things unseen. Your belief is unseen. But your faith will be evidence of what you truly believe. See, a lot of people do, you know, when you don't see anybody doing anything, you know what? They don't believe anything. If you don't see people taking steps to know God and to study and to, you know, they really, people will respond to what they believe in. They will make investment to that thing they believe in. They're going to work on something that's of value to them. So you cannot separate. We would be, now when we start this little faith, ABCs of faith, of course, the whole faith message in which we believe it is correct and it's right. Amen? But it's more than that. That's just the easy stuff. But true faith, our true hope. Bible said, now faith is substance of things hoped for. The number one thing you should hope for, who is your hope? Jesus. Jesus is our hope. is what we, you know, hope is earnest expectation. What do you expect to happen? Right. So if our expectation is Jesus coming back, then our faith, our actions would line up with that return of Jesus. I'm getting so excited about our body. People get motivated and say, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start praying like I used to pray. I'm going to start praying for the saints. I'm getting ready. I'm going to come in here. And they say it with almost a fear in their eyes. And someone said, well, that can't be God. Oh, yes, it can be God. Reverentially fearful before God. You know the Lord is coming. You want to get busy.
Amen. You want to get busy
because you read in the Word. So you want to get busy. So faith always does something. Faith without works is dead. It's the same thing when you believe in God for healing. You can believe God for healing, but you got to receive that healing. But you know what? You got to take a step of faith for that healing to start to manifest. You got to get up and go on. So if we have faith in the return of Jesus Christ, then our lifestyle, every step that we make, every day that we live, should be evidence of our of what we believe is about to happen. Every day I wake up, I think of the Lord's return. I'm not lying. I don't live a day on my own. I don't allow one day to go by without being confronted with God. Mission. It's not just my job, you know. I could get out of my job, but you know what? That the knock would still be on the door. There'd still be something else. Still be another way. I couldn't just live my life any way I wanted to live it anymore because I believe God.
Amen.
I believe God. I'm consumed with that. My faith won't let me do it. I can't live for myself anymore because I believe Jesus. So we're talking in this message, trying to upgrade our faith for the Lord's return. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to skip over to chapter 3. This is how the believer should live. Not just a preacher. Not just a fanatic. But this is what the saints should be walking in. And this should be the lifestyle of the saints. Just because everybody else isn't doing it doesn't mean you don't have to do it. But this is what God expects. And this is how you overcome. How many of you want to overcome? Well, you got to invest into it. Amen. If you want to live this lifestyle of the Christian walk and in the kingdom of God, guess what? You got to start to walk by faith. They say, what are you talking about walk? But they think walk by faith is just live a better lifestyle. Well, that's some of it. But to walk by faith means that you live under the control of the Holy Ghost constantly. You're constantly obedient to what the Word of God says and to what the Bible says. No matter what, it says we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by everything we see around us. The way everybody else is walking around us and the way everybody is living around us does not dictate to us how we should live and how we should walk. Culture doesn't tell us how to become what we need to become. The general flow of the multitude of the church doesn't tell us how we should live. But the Word of God tells us how we should live. And Paul had these things in his sight. He said now in chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. He said he was comforted. See, they were going through, they were paying the price. How many believe these boys were paying the price for the gospel of Jesus Christ? They suffered many things to get the word out there. They were going through some stuff in order to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it can get rough. But they say, listen, we were comforted over you in all affliction. You know what? When you step out to do anything for God, you know what? There are going to be some opposition and there is going to be some affliction. The devil doesn't want to give up easily. Kingdom of God, son of violence, and the violent take it by force. Sometimes he's not going to go when you just tell him to go. You got to say it in faith and stand there and push the boy out of the way. Just because we say we want to have a church doesn't mean you're going to have a church in a city. You're going to have to suffer. It's the truth. Suffer against what the devil tries to say. He doesn't want you there. You're going to have to endure some persecution. You're going to have to endure people talking about you. You're going to have to endure attacks from the enemy trying to keep you down. There's some affliction. That means something's wrong? No. It means that we're in the world. But we're not of the world. This is wartime. We're not in heaven yet. We experience some heaven, but we're down here as ambassadors. And at times, you can get in some risky situations to where you have to use your faith to change some things. And you got to stand anyhow. And what Paul was basically telling these people, says, listen, this lifestyle that God has us live, he said, we die daily. He said, we go through a lot of stuff. Let me tell you what, if you want to win your nation for Jesus Christ, you got to be willing to go through some stuff. Everybody, there is a cross that must be bared. Amen? You think you're going to win this community with knocking on a door? That's not enough. There is some suffering. Some suffering in prayer. You can't give somebody a hot dog and expect the devil to leave. There's more than that. We have to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Love suffers. And it's going to cost you something of yourself. It might cost you a little bit more time in the morning to get up instead of you concerned about your own stuff. And you using your whole prayer, all your prayer life on you. You might have to start to intercede for some other people. Some other people are going to only come out as you bring them out with your prayers. It's not all going to be a piece of cake and a piece of pie. This is war. It's going to take some self-denial. We're on our way to heaven. Not there yet. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, seated in glory. Amen. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, but we are still here in the flesh to represent Jesus Christ. So what Paul was saying here, he said, listen, we are going, when you read this whole book, you will find out the things that they had to endure in order that the gospel might be preached. For some strange reason, God will still associate. He calls, how many of you are passionate about your faith? Well, how many remember the message that we preached that passion, what Jesus called passion, you know, was when he suffered before he went to, they call it the passion of Christ. Carrying that cross, being beaten and wounded and all, say, oh, that's what he called passion. And at times, passion will have an element of travail and great, the blessing of the Lord, make it rich, he added no sorrow with it. But you tell you what, you will suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. We can't stop ministry. Say, let me tell you what ministry is. One word. Work. It's not a party. Ministry means service. So just the word that he uses, period, point blank, just the word service means you're not going to serve anything that doesn't need to be serviced. How many people want to be an auto mechanic? And you're going to go to a car that's already fixed up, and just as a hobby, you're going to take the car apart just because you enjoy fixing it. No, you minister to something that's broken. There's something that's wrong. And people get paid to do service because they wouldn't normally want to do it. Well, it's the same thing with the ministry that we have in Jesus Christ. It's the same thing with the ministry we have. We will do it freely. And we do it because we love the Lord, amen. But we still want to realize that the ministry that we do have, there is an element of suffering with it. It will cost us something. We all have got to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And Jesus says, if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him, listen, you can't do it. Many people want to follow Jesus just real easy with nothing. Just skipping along. It's not enough to follow him. But you got to pick up the cross and follow him. Now, he carried the cross, but there is a cross that we have to bear. And what is that cross? The responsibility of reconciling mankind to God. And that's what he was talking about. His cross was his ministry. And what he was called to do to bring mankind to God the Father. And he is still reconciling man to God through us. That's the only reason why you're on the earth today. Responsibility. He said, we are comforted over you all in all our affliction and distress by your faith. You want to know something about these Thessalonians? They were faithful. And their faith was spoken of throughout all the cities there and all the churches in that area. And their faith and their labor of love was spoken about. They were busy about the Lord's business. They were faithful. They were hustling. And there were some churches that were going off into some wild stuff and some crazy stuff. And these boys were praying and they got some joy to find out there was some church someplace doing the work of the ministry. And they received encouragement. Isn't that good? So you must see, you got to get the whole picture of what Paul was basically talking about. He said, you have made me glad. I'm filled with joy. I was overburdened. I was stressed. I was very concerned that you weren't busy about what God told you to do, but you were faithful. And many times he said, this is a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would address people and introduce people to the body. He said, this is a faithful one. This is one that really believes that Jesus is coming and all their actions follow, go in sync with what they believe is happening. So we see that. He said, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you and all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God? Night and day praying exceedingly. See, if we want to truly do the works of Christ and we truly want to be like the New Testament church, we got to find out what New Testament apostles and people were like. What was their passion? See, a lot of people just want to get a bunch of people saved. But we have a greater burden than after people get saved to see that they stay in the faith. And you can only tell whether someone is staying in the faith by what they're doing. And people should grow up and develop responsibility. So these guys, they didn't stop just to preach the gospel. They said, we prayed night and day exceedingly. And this is the prayer of this ministry. And this is the prayer of this church. This desire of my heart as well. That we're going to pray exceedingly until this right here happens even in this house. That we might see your face and might perfect which is lacking in your faith. Isn't it good? How is your faith? How do you live? How is your ministry? What do you live for? What was the passion of your life today? Many people ask that question, they don't have any faith. They just exist day by day. They have no passion. They have no desire. What is your faith? What is your expectation? In order to see your faith come to fruition and God to bring completion there, you've got to get this in your spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. Say that again. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, and despise not prophesyings. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. And we were saying that prosperity and abundance is not going to come until the individual develops a prospered soul. And how does the individual develop this prosperous soul? He says, if we would do these things, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how to receive a prospered soul. Now, many times people talk about what a prosperous soul is. Somebody had all those messages of that once you get this prosperous soul, you'll be blessed. The prosperous soul is what gets prospered financially. And everybody, there were many people that came throughout this series of meetings that we hear, and they heard about all the things that they would receive from a prospered soul. But they never learned how to receive a prospered soul. You will not receive a prospered soul until you start to practice these things. The prospered soul is the result of a renewed mind, a trained spirit, and a renewed mind. And how can you train your spirit and renew your mind? One, rejoice evermore. How can you rejoice evermore? What will rejoicing evermore do? How will rejoicing evermore train your mind or train your soul? How could that ever train you? You know what that does? That trains your mind. That trains your emotions, amen, to not to respond to what's going on around it, but to respond to what the Word of God says. Say, jump. You know, you can tell your mind to do that. You can speak to your mind. You can speak to yourself. When you speak out of your thing, say, rejoice evermore. Situation will come your way. Things that cause you to get into fear. Things that cause you to get upset. Things that cause you to get psyched out and freaked out. You have got to command yourself and rule your own mind, your own spirit, and say, rejoice anyhow. Crack the whip. And develop yourself. I will rejoice in the Lord always. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Isn't God good? I will bless the Lord at all times. Some say, I will. See, you will. You need to know that about yourself. Talking about rejoicing evermore. Listen, you have a will within you already to bless the Lord at all times. And you just need to release that praise that's on the inside of you. Says, I will. Say, I will means I want to. I desire to. I desire to bless the Lord at all times. And then we have that desire on the inside of us. And we just open our mouth. Yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Get the flesh out of the way. You don't need your flesh. When the enemy comes in like a flood, fear rushes in. Circumstances rushes in. Circumstances rush around you and about you. And trying to tell you this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You dig from the well deep within inside of you and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. And you get a hold of your spirit and open your mouth. And guess what? His praise shall continually be in your mouth. And the Bible says a good man shall be satisfied by the fruit of his lips. So that's how you prosper yourself. That's one way of prospering yourself. By what? Releasing the will of God within you to bless the Lord at all times. See, people don't understand. Well, everybody wants the reward, but nobody wants to make the investment. What are you going to get rewarded for? Everybody wants a gold medal, but nobody wants to run a race. God is a good God. But if you want to, you know, you got to run the race in that way. God is not a man that he should lie. And when the pieces just don't come together, something's wrong. And I don't think God is wrong. Obviously, there's something within us that we can develop to grab a hold a little bit more stably on the promises of God. And this is how we can do it. There are certain people, you can look at people and say, if you don't change, your circumstance is not going to change. Everybody wants everybody else to change around them. You're the one that changes. And when you change, amen, and you release the Holy Spirit within you. You got to let a little bit more light. You know, it's the power of God that will change your atmosphere and your circumstance. It's the grace and the anointing of God that's going to change everything wrong in your life. But you know what you're going to have to do? You have to crack open a little bit to release it. God said, I can change it if you just release me. So that's why you change. So he said, but I'm not the one that's wrong. But you got the answer on the inside of you. Someone's got to let Jesus out to get to the circumstance. And he's not going to jump off a cloud. He's not going to jump out of a cloud someplace. He's within you. So you got to change something in yourself to let more of that glory be released. Don't wait for somebody else to open up the door for you and to release God's best for you. You better learn to release it yourself with the words of your own mouth. And your world will change as you change. What has changed me? The outside things do not change us. That's not how God works with us. The outside things don't change us. That's not what's changing. What's happening is you're changing yourself from the inside and letting what's inside out. That person change is not going to change your world at all. You're the one that's going to have to change in every circumstance, in every situation, right or wrong. You change. Somebody say, I'm going to release more of God by decreasing more of myself. I must decrease so that he might increase. Isn't that great? So what are we talking about tonight? We're using a scripture to say, this is how we receive the prosperous soul. Many people have sold out already without actually doing anything. You haven't changed anything. You haven't worked anything. Someone says, nothing changed. You didn't change. You changed, and then everything you want to change will change. How many of you noticed that when you started to make the change, your money changed? You know, when you changed, your household changed. How many need a change? How many need a change? First thing you change is, why don't you open up the door to your heart and let a little light out? That's the first change. Rejoice in the Lord always. And that's a skill that we must learn to develop if we're going to have prosperous soul. And it's just a choice. You know, there are certain situations, I mean, you feel like you could just lose your mind because the pressure is so intense. But when the pressure is intense, say, the Bible says, I will. That's deeper than what you think. It's not just saying what you're going to do. It didn't say, I'm going to. It said, I will. You know, there was a portion of Scripture. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. God is willing to do those things. He's willing and ready. And there are a lot of things that you're willing to do. Isn't that neat when you find out? And that's a gift from God, to willing to do his good pleasure. That is a gift. I want to let you know that the thing that you find yourself powerless to do, and the thing that you see that you don't have enough strength to do, enough ability to do in your own strength, you know, that you just don't even want to do it, that's a lie. You will to do it. Because the Spirit of God abides on the inside of you. And there's a desire in anybody that loves Jesus to serve him with all of their heart. And all you got to do is open the door. Don't be afraid to release your heart. Don't be afraid to let that will have its way. You're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and you have a new, you know, you have a new spirit within you, a new spirit abiding on the inside of you. The Bible said all things have become new. Well, let that new person out and walk around. And see, many people don't realize, they think, I got so many things to learn. No, you don't. You know what? You have it all within you already. And all you got to do is just open the door and start to walk in that newness of life. You know, the road plan for your life is already on the inside of you. All you got to do is open the door and release it. I have never had difficulty, even when I'm given some hard assignments from God and situations, I just think, oh, gosh, this is overwhelming for me. And you can get to some stuff that appears to be overwhelming. It is too much to handle. But you know how I can handle it? I just open the door. And if I just open the door, there's somebody within me that can handle it. And that person is always willing. Amen. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you need to thank God that first and foremost, you start to rejoice in God that He's already taken care of your will for you. David prayed one thing, and you got what David prayed for. He said, and renew a right spirit within me. Isn't it great that you got the Spirit of Christ abiding on the inside of you, and it's the right spirit? And I just want to encourage you in the Holy Ghost tonight that the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, it's willing. And I found out that I don't have to, you know, that sometimes we have to encourage people. We have to encourage people. But I find myself not motivating people as much as I used to. Why? It's because the motivation is already within them. They're already willing. They're already ready. And all I got to do is encourage them to open the door and let their heart flow out. And let their spirit flow out. Amen. So don't let the devil lie to you and say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. No, that's the flesh. Open the door. And I'm not the door. See, many people have got to pick up the phone and say, well, pastor will encourage me to do it. No, you open your own door. You open your own door. And you'll find out that you got a motivation to do the pleasure of God and to do the heart of God within you already. Follow it. How many of you wanted to give up sometime, but all of a sudden somebody unlocked the door to your heart and you found yourself walking in the right direction? You need to thank God for that. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is living and abiding on the inside of you, and the Spirit of God is not dead within you, that there's still a motivation. You can rejoice in that. So one of the things, now we're only going to tackle, I only want to talk about two things. One of the things in order to get that prosperous soul is, one, rejoice evermore. And say, it's not a problem because I'm already willing. You got to realize that it's within. You will find, this is a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this happens in people, because I believe there's some people here tonight that say, Lord, I want to serve you. And I want to do something. I just need, you know, I don't understand. I know I want to do this. And I know you're not under condemnation or anything like this, but you just want to release something within you. The Lord, the Bible says, those that know the Lord their God will be strong and do exploits. And I want to let you know that there's a door, and all you got to do is unlock the door to your heart, and God is on the inside of your spirit. And as soon as you open it, it'll flow out, and it'll be okay. He's there. Say, I can handle it. I've got an unction from the Holy Ghost. Now, that's one thing that we're going to do. The next thing that we are going to do is we are going to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How many want to have a sanctified spirit, a sanctified heart, a sanctified mind? How many want to have that ability where you're walking in that, be preserved blameless? We talked about last night about being preserved and gone. Oh, my Lord. He that abideth under the shadow of Almighty, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my rock and my fortress, my strong tower. In Him will I trust? Well, let me tell you what the secret place. You can look at these things that we're talking about right now, rejoicing evermore. That's a strong tower. The place of praying without ceasing. You know what? That's a rock. The Word of God is a rock that you can stand on. You think of all those things, and you can think of some of these things that God's telling us to do. These will become our hiding places. I would be depressed, or I would be discouraged, and I'd be ready to give up, but I've hid myself in the fortress of a heart that is filled with thanksgiving. I block myself in with thanksgiving. I'm in a fortress. Devil can't touch a grateful heart. Rejoice forevermore. Ooh, we need to, I never put those two together, but we can understand, and we need to put them together. God is just amazing, and you know, and we can get to the thing and say, oh, this person thinks so bad, or we'll just, there's just so much out there, you know. You know, oh, Lord, all this, and the Lord just brings it back and says, listen, do what I tell you to do. Do what I tell you to do, and you obedient. You just stay in love, and you just trust. And don't let your heart grow weary in doing well. You walk this thing out and you do the best you can do. God is good, isn't he? So in rejoicing always is one of the ways that we can develop ourselves to live in a prosperous soul. How are you going to practice that? What's the first thing we learned about rejoicing evermore is that we are already what? When you start feeling discouraged, you start feeling depressed, and you start feeling given up, like you give up, say no. I've got a praise down on the inside that stills the enemy. Now, there's one more thing that I want you to practice. Pray without ceasing. And there's one thing I really believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with y'all about prayer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. Say, this night thou shalt deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples, and cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him who? Who was the first one he took? He said, come on, Peter. Okay? And the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto him, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his knees and prayed, saying, you know, many people got a problem with falling on their knees and praying. But if Jesus was God and he could fall on his knees and pray, you're not that holy and that sanctified, not that powerful, not that grand. You can't bow your knees to pray. Fell on his knees. You can do either one. Fall on your knees or on your face, whatever. Just fall someplace. Bow down yourself. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. We know that Jesus was always willing to please the Father. So what was he talking about at this point? Not as I will, as thy will. He was giving us an example. That even he followed the spirit of the Father within him. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto who? Watch, could ye not pray with me 1 hour? He said to Peter. Peter, can't you just pray 1 hour? Watch and pray that what would not happen. that she would not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Within you there is a praying spirit. You don't have to know how to pray. That within you, as we said, that within the inside of you there is rejoicing on the inside. He says, I will magnify the Lord at all times. So you're already willing to the things that God wants you to do. Guess what? He's already given you the ability to do it. So there's no excuse why you don't. Your spirit is willing. Your flesh might not want to. But you can't give the flesh everything it wants all the time. The flesh wants to die. That's why you got to feed it. Give it vitamins and give it herbs. It's dying on you every day. I mean, those wrinkles on your face. I mean, it's trying to go back to dust. I'm serious. Your flesh is trying to die. It is working toward it. But you got a spirit on the inside of you that wants to live. And live life more abundantly. So there's no excuse why you don't want to pray, because there is a will on the inside of you. But you just need to get the flesh out of the way and out of control and start to put the spirit in control. And the spirit is willing. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed, no excuse, is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. How many times?
Three
times. Saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples the third time, okay, and saith to them, Sleep on. You might as well just sleep on. Well, that's what's happening today. People aren't even motivated. Just go on and sleep. Jesus said, watch and pray. In the last days, he says, listen, watch. Be ye also ready. And watch. Because you know not the appearing of the Lord. You got to watch. And there are a lot of people that don't want to keep watch in this day. And there are a lot of people that have fallen into temptation because they refuse to watch. And he said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of men. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. I truly believe that that was the denial that Jesus was talking about. He said, tonight before the cock crows three times, you shall deny me. But as far as what Jesus was concerned, I don't think that we used to think Peter remembered, that when the cock did crow, when the people were saying, hey, you were with Jesus. You were with Jesus. And he said, No, I wasn't. He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. But the first denial, let me tell you where that started. It started in the place of prayer. He was tempted to deny the Lord out in the open because he had practiced it in private. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Three times you will deny me. He went to them boys three times. And why did he keep, and each time it said Peter. He went to Peter the first time. Okay, mister, I'm not going to deny you. Wake up, Peter. And he still didn't get it. The first step into denial is the lack of prayer. They first denied him inwardly or spiritually. Inward or spiritual denial will lead to open denial. Those that pray will be prepared to stand against temptations. Those that don't pray yield to temptation. Whenever you see somebody backsliding, you see people doing all kind of stuff out in the open that you would never think a Christian would do. Why? Inward denial. if they just get in here and do what the book said. See, we surprised why people don't hang in church and don't stay in church and don't last, and that they can hang in here for 3 weeks. It's not enough just to come and sing a couple songs. You got to come in. And Jesus told his disciples, listen, all that you know about me, all the things that you learned, there's some rough times coming. You better prepare for these rough times because you don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, we're about to enter into some rough days. And the Bible says in the last days, there'll be a great falling away. Those that are falling away in the place of prayer now are those that will fall away in the open. And we're going to see this right here. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. In verse 74. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. And he went out and bitterly wept. Don't wait till you're in the mess. Don't let it elevate to that level. To where you're stuck out in the world someplace and cussing. Out there in the midst, Jesus was suffering. He was doing his job. He was suffering. And in many times in the Bible said, and Peter was sitting by the fire warming himself. That was one thing that always got me. And the Holy Spirit led me and said, listen, he said, and that's how Christians get all the time. This is the last in evil days. Jesus has hung on the cross and done many things. And Christians are warming themselves beside the fire. While the body of Christ is trying to go forward. You know, Peter warmed himself by the fire and said, hey, you're one of those people. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just like you. To the point to where he said, cuss and swear, I don't know him. How do people get to that level? How do people get to that condition? How? How does it elevate to such a point where whole churches get like that? We can't tell the difference between the world and the body of Christ. We don't see mighty works. We don't see anything. There's no difference whatsoever. Why? Because they're not motivated. No, they just won't pray. Many Christians are falling in sync with the same thing that worldly people are. They get in just as many divorces. Just as much of them are addicted to drugs. One minute they're here shouting and rolling. The next minute they call you on the phone and cussing you out. And do you think they're going to stand in the last day? If they can't stand when there's no persecution whatsoever, no whip, if they can't obey God when he just said, listen, my spirit is heavy. I mean, when you saw Jesus depressed, you know, and one time where blood was streaming down the man's face, you could tell there was a crisis. I'm going to tell you what, we're in crisis. I'm just talking about the body of Christ. The king is coming, amen, and the forces of hell are running all over the place. And God's calling the church back to the place of prayer to make a difference. Hey, will you give up just 1 hour of sleep? Just 1 hour. But their eyes were heavy. Just heavy eyes. Three times. How many waves of teaching did we get in our nation trying to call our nation to the place of prayer and consecration? Larry Lee moved in that thing. Brother Gordon Lindsay, prayer. Madam Gayon, you think God might not raise up another person to call this nation to prayer? The Spirit of God can get so greedy to the point where he said, listen, y'all just sleep on. I'm not even going to try to get you to pray anymore. You just sleep on. Sleep on. And when you're finding yourself not being able to stand up against your enemies, prayer is a part. We aren't to pray without ceasing. Even though it might not be today's Christian, culture. Y'all go to church all the time. God, how much do y'all pray? We need to warn these people. You don't want to go to heaven. They're going to sing all the time. They're always singing. They're always worshiping. They're always praising God. Jesus is the center of attention. And people get upset with sins because they decide to make God the center of their life. And everything revolves. I mean, everything shouldn't revolve around your church. Oh, yes. Yes. Everything doesn't revolve around church. Everything revolves around God. And he just happens to hang around churches. Right? Without ceasing. Rejoice forevermore. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. He'll arrange your world around what your spirit wants to do. All you got to do is open the door. If you open the door to your spirit and your spirit finds some room, God will keep it open. I enjoyed myself today so much. You know, I have a wonderful life. I really do. Just, you know, I work around good people. That's a door open. I said, man, this is the life. And there was a time in my life I thought, man, there's no way we can open that door to let that step out there. How could you think that you could make a living trying to serve God? You know, trying to do all these things. Open the door. God will make a way. See, many people try to fit God in their schedule. See, I don't try to fit God in my book. I'm written in his book. My name's written in his book, the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't make appointments for God. Amen. Don't put him in your book. You're in his book.